Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It wasn't an easy summer for the Coalition, and it'll be nose to the grindstone again next week when the Dáil resumes. So what's to look forward to this term? Well, a major reshuffle in December, the run-up to the next election, and much more. And we're going to look at all of this now with Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor at the Irish Independent, and Jennifer Kavanagh, lecturer in law at the Southeast Technological University. Thank you both for being with us today. So I just want to go back a little bit to the run-up to the break, Jennifer, first, because we had a lot of calls for an early budget, and they resisted those calls. They managed to hold the line on that. Was that, in retrospect, a wise decision, or will there be a price to be paid for that?
I think it was probably the wisest decision to be made. Now, they did give motorists some relief on fuel. Diesel and petrol had a cut in their retrospective tax. And to be fair, one thing that did actually help from the previous budget was cutting the rates of public transport for a lot of people. But whatever was going to happen at the summer, the winter was going to be worse. So this winter, most people power their houses with heating, with oil or smokeless coal in some areas, or gas. That's only going to get worse. And it's going to be a number of winters where we're going to have this problem, with the electricity bills soaring as well, and the knock-on for everyone else, because schools need heating, the departments need heating, hospitals, homes, businesses. So it's probably for the best that they didn't make those that mini budget that people were looking for, because things are unfortunately going to get worse.
So Fionnán, for you, it was a calculated gamble, wasn't it, that the government took despite all of that pressure? Was it the right call?
Well, a couple of measures did kick in, such as the abolition of the school transport fees, for example. Now, that led to a knock-on impact then of extra demand in places, but that does tend to happen every September. There are problems there anyway. So they made the gamble that the big bills will start flowing in the latter half of the year as the temperatures cool down and people are putting on heating more, and therefore they wanted to hold all their firepower. Their argument now will be, well, look, we have more money to give out at this point than we would have had, and we'll add greater certainty to actually be able to announce all this in one go, because it's got to be effectively kind of a triple whammy budget. You will have, obviously, the cost of living measures, a package of 1 to 1.5 billion, some of which will kick in straight away. You'll have measures from budget 2023 that will kick in straight away, and then we'll know what's happening throughout the whole of 2023. Now, no doubt, as soon as we get halfway through next year, there'll be calls for other mini budgets and more resources to be allocated. But at least you should have a good block of 6 months of certainty of exactly what's going to happen, because if they're looking again at the electricity or the energy credit that happened previously. So one of the objectives there will be to space that out over the difficult period heading into the winter and the spring.
The 200 euros.
The talk at the moment is you could have a doubling of that, but you wouldn't put it all in one go. You'd spread it out over the periods where bills are coming in. And obviously that goes directly towards your electricity bill. So you know exactly, there's a certainty around when exactly it's going to be paid over.
Isn't there certainty as well, though? That's just not going to make much of a dent in it now.
I mean,
we're a very
not.
Different place when it was announced last spring and people were paid it in May and May, wasn't it? People got that. I mean, now the 200 euros, given the level of increases we've seen since then, it's not going to make much odds, is it?
It also took a long time to get it through the system. You'll recall it seemed to take about 10 weeks from an announcement, let alone the speculation beforehand, to it actually being paid over. Now the system is set up, you'd imagine it'll work that bit better. You'll also see the fuel allowance being increased, possibly up to 250 euros. Whether that'll be a lump sum or spread over a couple of payments, we'll wait and see. The key thing in this budget is really going to be how many measures are specifically targeted at those on low-income households and how many go across the board. And if they are upping the threshold for what you would regard as a low to middle-income household, where do those figures fall? Because you're already seeing some bits of schisms between the coalition partners, Fine Gael basically arguing that, well, look, there's people on middle incomes, working families, who don't get anything because when measures only go at the lower end, if you're on slightly above the average industrial wage, you start losing out. So that will be a difficult position for them to articulate to the public about why exactly the targeted measures are going where they're going and the universal ones going across the board. Because you will have people pointing out, as happened during the electricity credit, well, the millionaire also gets the 200 euros.
Yeah. I just want to talk about the politics side of this for a moment coming into the new term, Jennifer, because we had the Robert Troy situation, then we had Stephen Donnelly clarifying his position when it came to the RTB last week. There was a prediction in the Business Post, Elaine Byrne was writing, that there will be increased scrutiny of politicians and their property investments, which is a given. But her point, you know, that this is going to create huge division now and that the opposition will capitalise on this coming into the new term. Do you agree with that?
Well, if it creates issues for the government through the opposition, it would depend on everyone in the opposition having their books of account completely accurate as well when it comes to the registered members' interests. But the greater point, and what Elaine Byrne was touching on there, was the fact that people are cynical about politics to begin with. And if people are, for whatever reason, not having an accurate reflection of what their interests are, it only serves to create more division, more mistrust and more cynicism. So yes, it would be the individual politicians that have been in the news, but what suffers more is the overall trust, which is very low, as we have to say, between the vast majority of people and their politicians, and it only serves to make it worse. So for that reason, they should all be sure that what is there is accurate. If there is any question that whatever debate that they are speaking on, they may have some sort of an interest, whether it's on the registered member's interest or even something basic, just get it out and say it, because at the end of the day, we cannot have a 3 month situation where people are being caught on these issues that are impacting on the overall trust in politics when it comes to the next general election and further on.
Is it not more, though, Fionnán, than being open and honest about what you have and saying before you take part in a debate, these are my declared interests? Is it not about the greater proportion of landowners, landlords in Dáil Éireann than there are in the general public?
Okay, but this has arisen in the past. We have had debates previously about what is the disproportionate number of farmers in previous Dáils, and therefore agriculture policy shifts in a certain direction. It's not about precluding people from participating in debates or making policy decisions. It's about that their declaration is out there. Likewise with teachers, we can recall during previous public sector pay agreements, people were saying, well, you have so many teachers and people who worked previously in the public service that they also have vested interests.
That's different. It's really different, because Robert Troy's statement, and we come back to it all the time, he said, I worked really hard for what I have. I bought my first house at 20. Now, if you're a voter, a 20-year-old voter looking at that, you will never be able to buy your first house at 20, maybe not at 25, maybe not at 30. It's different from having a job in the public sector. It's different from being a farmer, because we're in the middle of a housing crisis.
It wouldn't be the first time that we've had political leaders in this country whose lifestyles seem to be quite dramatically different to those who they were governing, and ultimately the public are the ones who will decide upon that. I grew up in some of the darkest economic periods for this country, and at the time we had the leader of the country had a mansion, an island and a yacht, and it still didn't stop almost a record number of people voting for him.
And the question it surely is now, that just wouldn't be tolerated.
No, it wouldn't, and times have changed. And if anything, the ethics system that was put in place as a result of that era now has to catch up again. When you still have a paper-based system, you still have one with all sorts of anomalies in place, you still have a load of clauses attached that don't allow for that transparency that was supposed to be there. We are being told now that Michael McGrath, Minister of Public Expenditure, is looking at the ethics system, what exactly needs to be done to it. If anything, you'd have to say it's not just about the form filling, it's about a more robust system of enforcement, that there are some penalties attached when people have not been adequately forthcoming in their declarations.
Okay, let's talk about what's on the agenda then for the next term, the big ticket items. Obviously we have the budget, and then we have this big changeover, Fionnán.
You have an action-packed September, you'd have to say. I mean, in 2 hours' time, we're going to get a new Tory leader. We'll find out what direction relations are going to go with the UK. Parliamentary party meetings over the coming week, including Fianna Fáil going to Robert Troy's hometown of Mullingar, which will be interesting in its own right. Dáil back next week. Ploughing the following week is politically significant because it's usually a barometer of how the economy is performing. Is there cash in society? Do people think that it's time to tighten their belts? You get a sense of mood around that, because the budget then the following week, followed by the Fianna Fáil, Lord Eish, Micheál Martin's last as Taoiseach. And from then on, it very much is, you know, once you have a couple of weeks of fallout from the budget about what measures have gone down well and which ones need more tweaking, you're running then into the reshuffle in December. And You are now seeing some question marks about, you know, what exactly is the purpose of this? If generally speaking, it's expected to be conservative, apart from the top jobs moving around. If broadly speaking, you'd have to say the ministers have been in place for 2.5 years, pretty much lost out a good year in a lot of cases due to COVID-19. Your ability to actually implement policies was hampered so much. There will be question marks, I think, coming closer to it. So what we definitely know is Taoiseach Tatánaiste, of course, Fianna Fáil's first time a Fianna Fáil leader holding the office of Tánaiste, which is, I suppose, a sign of where that party now stands. You look at the most recent opinion polls, where Fianna Fáil stood at the last general election. The budget is, in effect, Micheál Martin's last chance to move that dial well down again on where they were in the general election. The downward curve has continued, so you'll see, will there be any bit of an improvement there? And from there are significant decisions that he will make about the future of his own party, with the Department of Finance switching to Fianna Fáil.
Michael, is that McGrath, happening?
It does appear to be quite firmly set in stone that you'll have the Taoiseach's job, the Minister for Finance's job, then knock-ons from that, the Attorney General, the Government Chief Whip, and the Cathaoirleach of the Seanad roles, they will all move.
Switch, yeah.
Beyond that, positions are up for grabs, but there seems to be a lot of talk about the need for stability. It's not expected, for example, that Eamon Ryan is going to want to change out of being the Minister for Energy in the foreseeable future. So maybe some of the minor roles. And then within the individual parties, is anybody going to want to make any dramatic moves in terms of changes of personnel?
Okay.
Leo Varadkar has proven to be quite conservative in this regard. Micheál Martin was quite careful in terms of who he picked 2 years ago. So there's normally no harm to throw a bit of raw meat to the backbenchers by sacrificing somebody of a big name. But we'll see, do the two main leaders have the bottle for that on this occasion.
And Jennifer, do you think people will be asking, you know, what is the point of this if the portfolios are changed beyond the top jobs as outlined there by Fionnán?
Yeah, absolutely, because it is a different person on charge as Taoiseach. And bear in mind, you have a lot of the younger blood coming through, both, especially Fine Gael, to a certain extent in Fianna Fáil. And some of those people will be looking at whether they're getting a Minister for State position or not. And also the other thing is, once whatever changes has happened, has been carried out, if you have anyone who is wobbling in the background, they know there's no carrot of, well, I could be a Minister for State if there's a big vote coming up, so I'll keep my powder dry and I'll keep my mouth shut. There really is no incentive for them to do that then anymore after the changeover has happened. So, for example, you're going to have some fairly big carbon pieces of legislation coming through, like anything to do with, say, land use and things like that. And if you have anyone who is very much in with, say, the farming background, who will, from what I've heard, will be very annoyed with any more direction being given to farmers as to what they can and can't do, you will have a situation where they might just say, well, there's nothing in it for me to keep my mouth shut anymore. So I think the whips will have a very interesting job after this changeover happens, because if you're in the bigger parties, or even if you're in the Greens, and we don't know what way they'll actually fare in the next general election, you will have a situation where they could be looking at the numbers coming in and saying, well, more than likely, I'm not going to be in government. I'm going to be in the backbenches now for however many years they are foreseeing. And then why not actually go and make some noise for my local constituency, something that's very important for them. If I get a rap on the knuckles, so be it. There is no necessary carrot that is there for them to still abide by the general parliamentary party rules, a limited
stick as well. You know, there's no carrot, but also no stick because the numbers are so tight.
They might just say, I might as well just do something more for my constituents and make sure I get back in at the next general election, whatever shape that's going to take.
And listen, do you think Fine Gael might want health and or housing back?
They may, because Fianna Fáil has had it, but then they might also think, well, these will be the bigger two issues when it comes to the general election, so we can just continually say, well, that was them, not us.
Mm-hmm. What do you think on that, Fianna?
Well, housing, no, given that the Minister for Housing was the sacrificial lamb after the reshuffle after the last general election. Doesn't seem to be any great appetite there. And you held, yeah, they had their shot at it. So again, the talk of stability probably suits Fine Gael, that you're leaving those difficult portfolios with Fianna Fáil. There will, of course, be question marks, though, around Stephen Donnelly. He's very much the focus of a lot of attention and assessments now on whether he is the person to carry on when you've so many changes now in the post-COVID environment, facing into the health service and the implementation of Sláinte Care or any adjustments that are required there. So very much focused there on him. And in Fine Gael, then it's a case of, well, are any of the heavy hitters going to get dropped, such as Simon Coveney or Pascal Donoghue? And you'd kind of question if anything at all would happen there. Are we just going to see a bit of changes around the lower ranks? There's going to have to be some changes around the super junior ministers, for example, because the chief whip's job swapping across, a few changes between backbencher and junior minister portfolios. And is that going to be around about it? And mm-hmm. is that enough to kind of revive their fortunes? And ultimately then the focus will then shift to, right, what is Micheál Martin doing for the next general election? And is he going to swap over before the locals coming up in 2024?
Okay, well, look, before we get to the changeover at Christmas, there's going to be a lot of water flowing under the bridge between now and then. And we look forward to it all. Thanks very much, Fionnán Sheehan and Jennifer Cavanagh.